Mood with Kim G.C. Moody Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Moody. I'm a Canadian tax expert who has over 30 years of experience at a specialist level dealing with Canada-U.S. tax matters for the private client. For those of you who know me, I love the study of leadership. I'm passionate about entrepreneurship and how tax and economic policy impacts Canadian entrepreneurs, executives, and average Canadians. This podcast will discuss topics relating to taxation, taxation policy, leadership, economics, and the odd political comment as it relates to the previous topics, all in a lighthearted and playful style. Strap in and come along for the ride. Good day. My name is Kim Moody, and I'm your host for In the Mood with Kim G.C. Moody Podcast. And today, I'm recording this on April the 8th, 2024, and we are 8 days away from the Canadian federal budget being released. And, it seems like the budget has been going on, or at least the release of the budget contents has been going on for about the last 2 weeks or so, since the Canadian federal government, under the Liberals, have been making spending announcements almost every single day for the last couple of weeks. But I'm not going to comment too much on that, other than maybe that's good politics. I tend to think it's poor politics and, frankly, poor form, but that's just my thoughts. You might have different thoughts. I'm going to just quickly talk to you today in this podcast about what I think might be in the budget with respect to some tax content. Just as an overall summary, I don't think that this is going to be a real tax-heavy budget. You know, that tends to happen towards the beginning of a government's regime where, you know, they want to make an impact, and so they'll look at tax as a lever and a tool to implement some of their policies. My overall prediction is that we'll see some technical changes, and I'll comment a little bit about that. But big pervasive changes or dramatic changes, I just don't see it. I could be wrong, as all predictions can be wrong, but I just don't see it. It's probably too politically risky for the government at this time, especially with the Liberals being so far down in the polls. I think to take some bold risks on tax is probably a little bit too much because it could backfire for them. So in any event, that's just my overall general comment. One might counter that by saying, well, Kim, come on. Yeah, I understand that, you know, they don't want to make any big changes because of some political risk, but maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe they do want to take a big political risk, so to try to, you know, change their fortunes. And I guess that's possible. I guess the older I get and the more I hang around, watching tax policy develop both at the political level and the bureaucrat level, I'm just not seeing it in this time. So that's my overall comment. So do I see personal tax increases? You know, there's always, with this particular government, risks that they'll increase personal tax rates, especially for the so-called rich. I don't think there's much room to move there. I think when you look at the statistics, and I've commented on this many times in my writings, you know, the so-called rich pay a disproportionate share and a significant disproportionate share of the overall personal tax loads, both at the federal level and provincial level, already. And so if the federal government thinks that there's more room to move by increasing rates as a simple blunt policy tool, I think there would be massive, significant backlash. And so I just don't see it, although I do see them coming through with the alternative minimum tax amendments, which they came out with in budget 2023 and released some draft legislation in August of 2023. because they want to retarget and recalibrate the alternative minimum tax. I don't think that there's going to be significant changes from what they've already released, other than respond to the criticism that the alternative minimum tax has a very negative impact on making charitable donations. I think they're going to fix that, would be my guess, and they should fix that. I've been very critical, along with a number of other people across Canada, that you should not trigger alternative minimum tax when you make charitable donations. That to me is just counterintuitive. You want to try to encourage the rich or the wealthy to make charitable donations. So I don't see that happening. So, and when I say don't see that happening, what I mean is I don't think that they're going to not amend it. In other words, better English, I think they will amend it. And I'll be looking for that in the April 16th budget documents. And really, what does that do? Well, that's just a backhanded way of increasing tax to the rich. And in particular, when you walk through some of the mathematics of these amendments, it's a backdoor capital gains inclusion rate is really what it is. So those two predictions, I think, I'm pretty comfortable with. I don't see personal tax rate increases, even on the rich, but I do see some alternative minimum tax tinkering to soften the blow for charitable donations. Do I see a capital gains inclusion rate increase? You know, that this is something that has come up in the budget predictions for at least the last 20 years. The last time there was tinkering on the capital gains inclusion rate was in the year 2000. Because and just as a quick reminder for listeners, when capital gains became taxable in Canada, effective January 1, 1972, there was a 50% inclusion rate for capital gains. And that was a compromise because the Royal Commission on Taxation, which released its report after a four-year study in 1966, recommended that capital gains should be fully taxable. And, you know, they did that under, you know, the famous saying of a buck is a buck, or as most people say, a buck is a buck is a buck. And, you know, there's good arguments to that. Whether a buck is received in the form of a capital gain or in the form of a salary or a dividend, you know, it's a buck. It should be taxed. But the government of the time, and I think rightfully so, was concerned that if you taxed capital gains and it previously was not taxed ever in Canada, that might stifle investment. And I think there's valid concerns there. And so the 50% inclusion rate, you know, stayed that way until the 1980s, and then it ratcheted up to 2/3, and then it went to 3/4 shortly thereafter. And it stayed at 3/4 until the year 2000. And then in the year 2000, it ratcheted back down to 2/3. And then in the same year, shortly after, in October of 2000, it ratcheted back down to 50%. And it's been that way for almost 24 years now. And so every year the prognosticators, when it comes to budget predictions, think that the capital gains inclusion rate might increase. And I was one of those during the COVID years that thought it might increase because of the heavy, heavy spending and how they're going to pay for this. For that spending. Well, capital gains inclusion rate increases would be one way to do that. And that, frankly, is the only time in the last 24 years that I really thought that there was a shot at increasing capital gains inclusion rates. You know, the tea leaves just did not seem to be there, you know, to increase it, other than during the COVID years. For 2024, do I see the capital gains inclusion rate increasing? No, I don't. Again, that would be akin to a personal tax rate increase. I think there's just no appetite to do that at the moment, and I think it'd be very risky politically. One might argue they should do it, but that's an argument for another day. So there's my prediction. I don't see a capital gains inclusion rate increase. Do we see some more personal tax credits coming? This is one of my favorite topics. I wrote about this in the Financial Post a couple weeks back. I hate personal tax credits. I think they clutter the tax system. I think they're low value. They've been used by both the liberals and the conservative governments prior to that to try to win favor with voters. Like, for example, the fitness credit where you send your kids to some fitness activities, or arts credit. Your children enter into some arts classes like dance or just outright painting or whatever, and you could claim $500 of that. Well, when you do the math, and 15% of $500, which is what the credit is worth, is 15%. That's a whopping $75. Does it make a significant difference? No, it does not. And I'll argue with anybody that suggests it does. Having said that, does it have some mindful impact with people? Sure. It's kind of the same thing as transit credits. If you buy a transit pass, back in the day, you could claim a credit for that. But again, it's not material. And so they clutter the tax system for immaterial amounts. And thankfully, a lot of them have been repealed. But under this current government, they seem to be resurrecting it with, for example, teacher supply credits. So do I see some personal credits coming? Yes. Am I going to predict which ones? It would be a total shot in the dark for me, but anything that appeases their tax voter base, not tax, but their voter base. So, given the very left of center audience they have, maybe appeasing, some union workers in some form or fashion, maybe some construction trade workers credits of some sort. Who knows? I sure hope they don't do it, but I just don't think this particular government can help themselves. Given, the housing is, the rage of the day, of course, housing supply shortages, which in my view are caused by unchecked immigration levels, which hopefully, the government of Canada is going to get under control here and put some thoughtful, policy behind this rather than having significant increases that affect Canada's infrastructure, including our ability to house new immigrants. Obviously, Canada relies on immigration, but it needs to be thoughtful, and we need to be ready for immigrants to come to Canada. And so, given the fact that we have significant housing shortages, do I see some sort of housing, personal tax credits, or housing being, involved in the tax matters in the budget? Probably. Not exactly sure how they're going to do that. But in any event, housing, I think, will certainly be there. Beyond that, I just don't see tax being really top of mind in this budget. And certainly with the spending announcements that have been made over the last, couple weeks, every day seems like there's a couple billion dollars announced of spending here and there. And last count of a day or so ago was up to $27 billion in new spending, which is a significant amount of money. And so I think this budget is all going to be about spending. I don't think there's going to be a ton of tax. I stand to be corrected because, of course, it should be secret as to what's there, and nobody should know what's going on. Unfortunately, there's always strategic leaks that seem to happen, especially recently, and I don't like that at all. But with all that said, I'll stand by my overall general prediction that I just don't see this being a very tax-heavy budget. But you never know. So there you have it. Let me know what you think, and thanks very much, and have a great day. Bye now.
So there you have it, another episode of In the Mood with Kim GC Moody podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed doing it. I'm always open to feedback. Please reach out to me at my personal website at kimgcmoody.com. Feel free to sign up to my mailing list for my one-to-one-to-one newsletter, where I comment on one comment on taxation, one comment on leadership, and one comment on economic or public policy matters. And feel free to reach out to me on my LinkedIn account as well. Until next time, take care. Bye now.